So just to remind you, it is 2020 still. That's a good year, isn't it? Doesn't that sound cool? Like even just 2020, it sounds awesome. It sounds like it should be a good year. It sounds like it should be a year of focus. I mean, I've already seen all the stuff that's coming out about 2020, perfect vision, seeing things in the future you might not be able to see. And that's some of the stuff that we are looking at, even in our sermon series and here at church, is this idea that we believe that 2020 is the year to look above and beyond what we've ever experienced, that we believe that this is the year that some of those things that maybe you have prayed for in the past can actually come to fruition, that what would happen if we got together and we literally prayed for those things. We didn't just have these little lists of things that we come up with, because everybody does it every year. I don't know what it is. Us humans love these points where we actually get to make a new decision. It's like transition points. So we love dates. We love brand new years, and we get behind those transition dates, and we say, this is going to be the year. It's like every elementary kid that goes to school, gets into junior high, and they're like, they start the school year, this is the year I get good grades, this is the year I get straight A's. We love those dates. We love those seasons of our life where we get to actually sort of restart. So like the gyms are going to be completely packed for another week or so. And they're already losing some steam. Because the first week, it's like you can't get a treadmill to save your life. And then the second week, it's like, oh, there's 8 left. And then the third week, it's like I'm the only one running. Like this is how it works. We set these banners and we set these ideas ahead of us and we say, this is the year I'm going to do these things. But how many of you know, and I'm here to tell you this morning, this is the truth. Nothing changes unless something inside of you changes. That's just the reality of it. Nothing in your life will change unless you change. Because there's a lot of things that will never change in your world, but unless you change inside, you won't see it differently. You won't look at it differently. You won't see it from a perspective of health. You will see it as a perspective of not having enough, not achieving, finding yourself in a place of failure. Like the only way a new future for you and I can exist is if this is what I think, if you actually understand that there's a power inside of you that already exists. You see, the whole idea of setting a goal is we set these goals and we say, well, something's got to change inside of me. I'm here to tell you there's already something inside of you that you need to recognize is changing you. There's something inside of you. There's a power within you. In fact, we just sang a song that talked about that very thing. I was listening to that song, and I'm going, man, that is... If I ever need reminding how good you've been to me, I'll count the joy, come every battle, because I know that's where you'll actually be. If I ever need reminding of what's inside of me, the scriptures remind us of what's inside of us. Prayer actually takes us to a place where we actually understand that there is glory inside of you that you may not have even known was ever inside of you. It's already there. It's waiting to become activated. It's waiting for it to find its new legs of strength and joy for your days tomorrow. It's waiting for you to actually step into it and say, tomorrow is going to be filled with power and glory. Those two words are kind of crazy. And I want to talk a little bit about power and glory this morning. Because when God talks about things that can change in your life, when he talks about in the scriptures about power, he does not use just hyperbole. It's not just a good idea. It's not just, hey, there's power in you. Oh, good. This is great for my momentum. God cares less about your momentum. He cares more about the courage and the courage that is already inside of you. Yesterday, after the Titans beat the number one seed in the AFC, right? I was watching an interview afterwards, and the coach for the Titans, Vrabel, who played for the Patriots for so long, Makes you wonder why he wins. Well, he played for the Patriots. He understands what it takes to win. But they asked him, they said, hey, you have some momentum now. You have some momentum. You're the sixth seed. Nobody expected you to be here. Now you have momentum. He goes, we don't have any momentum, and I could care less about momentum. And he said, you know what momentum means? It means that there is like something in that moment, but it doesn't give me momentum for tomorrow. He said, what I can do is I can instill courage, and I can instill confidence, and I can awaken something that is inside of my players that already exists. If I can get them to believe what's inside of them, nobody will stop us. I was like, oh, wow, that's amazing. I don't want momentum, do you? Momentum feels good for a moment, but it's kind of fleeting. Courage will give you the ability to change for eternity. And there's something inside of you. There's a power and a glory inside of you that if it is awakened, will actually activate things that you might think are impossible. Because God doesn't exaggerate, does he? He doesn't just throw out good ideas. He gives you truth, and he says, this is true. This is true. So in Ephesians chapter 1, 17 through 21, this is kind of the things that I hope that we will get out of it. This is kind of a big picture, and Paul is actually speaking this and praying this over the church of Ephesus, and he's saying this in verse 17, asking God, the glorious Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now that's really, really important. I'm going to talk about that a little bit this morning. That sounds like a mouthful. How many of you have prayed like that? I'm asking God, the glorious Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that's not just like poetic language. He's not just saying, you know, something that you're going, man, okay, how do I say that? How do I repeat that? So we end up saying, hey, Lord. But he's very specific. And I want to talk about that this morning. But he says, the glorious Father of our Lord Jesus Christ to give you, and this is my prayer for us, spiritual wisdom and insight so that you might grow. Everybody say grow. Grow in the knowledge of God. That is so powerful. If you could actually grow in the knowledge of God in 2020, a lot's going to happen in your life. He says, I pray that your hearts will be flooded with light so that you can understand the confident hope. I love how those two things go directly together. He doesn't just say hope. He's talking about something inside of you makes you understand that this isn't a hope that's going to be fleeting. It's actually active. It's happening. It's working itself out. A confident hope he has given to those he has called. Now listen to this line. His holy people. Anybody in here feel like you're God's holy people? Raise up your hand right now, everybody. Everyone raise your hand. Raise your hand right now. I mean it. Don't be all weird about it. Raise your hand. You are God's holy people. When you get that into your understanding, you begin to activate and actually live out a life of his holiness and his power. But he says this, his holy people who are rich. How many of you want to be rich in 2020? Somebody told me this morning, they're like, Donnie, you're just kind of pulling off the whole Steve Jobs look. I'm like, man, if I could just take a quarter of his last check, I would be wealthy and could retire, right? You know? And I had somebody, we just took a trip to San Diego, Jake and I, on a World Vision Conference in San Diego. We were down there, and literally somebody at a gas station told me, like, oh man, if I didn't know that Steve Jobs was actually dead, I would think you were him. And I said, well, I wouldn't be driving a Hyundai right now if I was Steve Jobs. You know, it's like I would be driving something a little nicer. Probably wouldn't be driving, have somebody else do the driving. He says, his holy people, we are his holy people who are rich and... Say the next word with me. Glorious. Anybody here this morning feeling glorious? How many of you are feeling like rich and glorious? Hang out with that person. Hang out with that person because you want whatever's rich and glorious in them to rub off and be rich and glorious in you. So rich and glorious inheritance. And he says, I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe in him. This is the same.
the same exact mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms. Now, everybody say now. Right now. Today. He is far above any ruler, authority, or power, or leader, or anything else, not only in this world, but in the world to come. For the next 5 weeks, you are going to be reminded over and over of this truth. Reminded that there is, with power, listen to me, with power, you get glory, wisdom, knowledge, and hope. Like, this is deep power. This is like unbelievable power. And at the end of this series, we will confidently worship the way that he's begging us to worship and begged the church of Ephesus to worship. And he says, now all glory to God, who is able, through his mighty power at work within us, to accomplish infinitely more than everything we could ever ask or think. Above and beyond. Above and beyond. Today, above and beyond. Above and beyond because of the glory that actually is within you. There is glory in you, and I don't care what you think about your day. I don't care what you looked at in the mirror this morning. There's more glory than what you saw, I promise. It's inside of you. But what would life look like? What would your family look like? What would your job look like? Amanda just shared. She's like, there's going to be things in 2020 that will scare you. But there's a fire inside of you that will lead you. There's things in 2020 that you're going to feel are impossible, but there's a God who is the God of all possibility. He is the God who will look at that and say, yeah, you think it's impossible, but I put the thought in your head. I put it already there. It is there for a reason, because I want to show my power through you. I want you to see that you are more glorious and more powerful than you can ever imagine. You are above and beyond power and glory. Because it's in you. It was created in you on the day that you were created. So if all that power was actively in you and I, what would we dream up? So those cards, at any point in time this morning and every single week, last week, we had a stack this big of those prayer cards of people writing out impossible prayers. And I phrased it like this. It's like the elephant in the room. It's the one thing that you're in conversation with and you never want to talk about because you just think it's just going to go bad. It's never going to work out. So I'm not going to talk about it. God's saying, bring that prayer to me. You don't want to talk about it because you think it's impossible. And don't go to God with it because he's sitting there going, you know, I got a lot better things to do than pray, than listen to you pray impossible prayers. I got things that I can work out. That one's too big. You're never going to outpray God. You're never going to outpray his glorious inheritance and his riches and everything that is already inside of you. So I started to look it up and I go, okay, glory and power, these are two words that I'm not sure we really truly understand. Anybody tell me right now, like, what is glory? When you really think about it, what is glory? You define it. Your 5-year-old says, Mom, what's glory? Would you be able to explain it? What is glory? So I looked it up, and it says high renown or honor. And this is just in our understanding. This is our dictionary. This isn't in the Greek or the Hebrew, going deeper for you this morning. It's high renown and honor won by notable achievements. That makes sense when it comes to Jesus, doesn't it? That makes sense when it comes to God. Just step outside today. Just step outside and look at the mountains. Just remind yourself of where you live. Because I spent a couple days in San Diego at Seaport Village looking out at sunsets that I don't get to see here. Our sunsets are different. They come with mountains as the silhouette, and that's beautiful all on its own, but there's something about that massive sun that suddenly gets bigger as it gets down to the edge of the ocean, and it just gets massive. And you just go, wow. It's a different world. It's a different, but I was reminding myself while I was there of where I live and what I have, and I was marveling at the Creator. So what is glory? High renown or honor won by notable achievements. He created all that. That's quite an achievement, and he did it in 6 days and rested on the seventh. Then it says magnificence or great beauty. praise, worship, thanksgiving offered to the one who created, deity. This is our New Oxford English Dictionary. And I'm sitting here going, okay, that glory is supposedly, according to Paul, in me. That I have high renown in me. I have honor inside of me because I have notable achievements. I don't feel like that on an everyday basis. Anybody else in the room with me? Magnificence, great beauty is inside of me. And then to think, okay, that's glory. What is power? Power, the definition, is the ability. So you have all this beauty, this renown, and this glory, and this honor inside of you, but it's not just sitting there. It's waiting to actually do something, and the power activates that glory into something active. Glory actually turns into a powerful move of doing something, having the capacity to change. This is what I love. Capacity or ability to direct or influence the behavior of others. How many of you would just love to direct or influence the behavior of your children? Or your husband? Wives? All the hands are going up all of a sudden. It's like, wow, you guys, it's awesome. It's like, how many of you feel beautiful? Everybody's, How many of you want to change your wife? Yes! Strength, physical strength. Like power literally comes with physical strength to do something. Generated energy. So here's the big idea for this morning. The above and beyond power that is actually within you. And I hope to convince you through this series that it exists in you. It's already there. You got to find ways to activate it. You got to find ways to make it real in your life. And it comes with this package. This is what I said. This is what it comes with. It comes with wisdom. It comes with hope. It comes with knowledge. It comes with glory. It's kind of like the air fryer that you bought at Christmas. It comes with all the different attachments. If you just get it online, you get it there, you get tons of different things. And it's like a $500 value for three payments of $350 a piece. Now you're paying for it. So I want to start with Paul's words in the first chapter, verses 15 through 17. And so as we look at that, I want you to understand who the Church of Ephesus is, and I've talked a little bit about it. It's a powerful community. It's a trade community. It's ruled and governed by Rome. And so there is tons of stuff going on here. There's intellect and knowledge. There is wisdom. There is great power there. There is money. There is art. There is culture. In fact, one of the seven wonders of the ancient world, the Temple of Artemis, is from this same exact area. So art, money, food, trade, influence. This city, Ephesus, could be known as two things: a powerful city and a glorious city. Powerful and glorious. And Paul's saying, I want them to be reminded that it's not the power of the culture they live in or the glory of the place that they are in or their jobs or their wealth, that the power is deeper than that. It's above and beyond that. The power and the glory is in Christ Jesus, and in Christ Jesus through the Holy Spirit leading them to the presence of God the Father. So Paul says this. He starts in verse 15 when in his prayer he says, ever since I first heard of your strong faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for God's people everywhere, I've not stopped thanking God for you. I pray for you constantly, asking God, the glorious Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. There he goes into that language again. The glorious Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, to give you spiritual wisdom and insight so that you might grow in your knowledge of God. So what's the goal? Give you wisdom and insight that you might grow in your knowledge of who? God the Father. He doesn't stop with the Holy Spirit. He doesn't stop with Jesus. He's like, the goal of the Holy Spirit is to activate something in you you didn't know was in you, to give praise and glory for the Son because of what he did for you, to take you to the presence and the glory of God. What I find really interesting, here's Paul's speaking to the Church of Ephesus, this powerful little church that's going really well. How do I know it's going well? Because he said, I first heard of your strong faith in your Lord Jesus Christ and your love for God's people. Is there anything else that a church should do well? Like, if the church was filled with people who have strong faith and they love everybody everywhere. That's a pretty good start for a church, don't you think? Like if I'm Paul, I'm going, you know what? I'm not praying for you guys anymore because you've arrived. Let's pray for the people who don't have that. Let's pray for the lost. Let's pray for those in poverty. Let's pray for people who are marginalized and unloved. Let's pray for the people who live in a culture and a place that people don't understand, so they push them to the side. Let's move into people's lives that we don't look like or live like, but let's love them anyways. And let's do it with the faith that is in us, this strong faith in God and our Savior Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit, because we are in the presence of God. And I'm sitting here going, if that's Paul, and he's sitting here saying, I'm praying for you, I'm wondering why he's praying for them. Because if I looked at your church, our church, and I said, man, every single person in here has strong faith and loves everybody always, I'm not sure I'd have a message to preach, let alone a prayer to pray. And Paul's like, it's like Paul's saying, there's more. There's more. He said, ever since I first heard of your strong faith in your Lord Jesus Christ and your love for everywhere, ever since, from the very beginning when I heard how strong of a church you were, I kept praying for you. And I've never stopped. To which I go, come on, Paul. Anybody in here pray and never be able to stop praying? Like, is that possible? Is it possible to pray and never stop praying? Because that's basically what he just said. I mean, not like the hashtag stuff that you see on Instagram. Australia's on fire, hashtag pray for Australia. And people comment, praying. Really? Are you? Do we really pray when we say we're praying? When somebody's going through a really tough time, you're like, oh, I'm so sorry you're going through that, I'm praying. Are you? Do we? And I'm looking at Paul going, is he? Was he? Did he snot? Did he snot? Did he not stop praying? Is it possible to not stop snotting, praying? And what Paul is saying, he's saying it's not that he was just getting on his knees before the Father all the time and never stopped. He's saying that there is a glory inside of him that never stops praying. There is power inside of him that is constantly yearning and interceding for other people on their behalf and for the growth of the church. And he's saying, I see that it's actually in you. I see you're praying and I see your strong faith, but there's even more. There's more. Ever since I saw you in your faith, in your love for Jesus, I realized in that moment there's more than what you're experiencing. He says, I've not stopped thanking God for you. I pray constantly. Now, I want us to think about this. Don't just think about what Paul prays, but how Paul prays. How Paul prays. So this is the first thing. First thing you take home today. Prayer. Listen, prayer is the activity by which the glory of God that is already in us is awakened and becomes commissioned to lead us. When you pray, God's glory becomes activated. And it's not that it's not already in you, it's already there, it's just waiting. It's waiting for you to actually say, God, activate the glory and the power that's in me. Let me pray and intercede for people. It's like working out at the gym. You know how you get stronger? By working out at the gym, and you keep working on it. But here's how it happens. You have to stay committed. You can't just get to 2 weeks in and then quit. And now you're taking the $40 a month gym membership and just it's going nowhere. Like it takes time and commitment. It takes effort. And prayer takes effort. You know what praying is? It's the best workout for your soul. When you pray, you're working out the glory that's already in you. When you pray, you're working out the power that is already in you. You're not working to try to receive it. When you pray, you're actually working it out of you. It begins to come alive. It becomes awake. And I'll tell you, prayer is one of the hardest things to preach about. It's one of the most difficult things to preach about because if I'm really honest with you, I'm not very good at it. Anybody in here with me? Please, somebody raise their hand. We're not really good at prayer. You want to know why we're not good at prayer? Because nobody can be perfect in prayer. There are certain people who probably pray more than us, but they can't ever be perfect in prayer either. It's a little bit like golf. Has anybody ever got 18 holes in one? So they had to set a par because they're like, you know what, nobody's going to get 18 holes in one. So let's do a par three, par four, and maybe par fives, and we'll just give them some grace. But you know what happens with golf? You hit a couple of good shots every now and then, and it gets you back to playing golf. It's like you could score 120, but you have that one good shot, and you're like, man, I'm going to be awesome. I'm going to be so good. Prayer's like that. You may not pray a lot, but then when you have the moment where you really dig into prayer, you're going, I want to know more. The more you pray, the more you want to pray. The more you pray, the more you start to know, want to know there's more to God. Every time I begin to pray and I really intercede for people, God's saying, there's more to this prayer life. Keep praying and pray all the time. Just talk to him all day long. Most pastors, if they're honest, would agree with this statement that preaching is comparatively simple compared to praying. Preaching is comparatively simple compared to praying. And here's why. When I preach to you, I'm preaching to you. When I pray, I'm talking to the God of the universe. Like when I'm talking to you today, I'm just talking to people who are a lot like me. But when I talk to the Father in heaven, I'm talking to a God that I can't fathom his power and his glory, and it humbles me, and the more I pray, the more I want to know his power and his glory, and I can't ever get enough. And so I look at this, and I go, Paul said, I don't stop praying. I don't stop praying. When I heard of your faith, I never quit. And the reason why Paul's saying that is because when he prays, he activates the glory inside of him and goes about his day, and that glory continues to intercede. That power continues to intercede as you go about your day and you're reminded of your prayers. It's in you. It's working in you. That same power is the same power that was in Jesus, and it's the same power to pray the way that Jesus prayed. You ever wanted to pray like Jesus prayed? And why would Jesus have to pray the way Jesus prayed? If all of God's power is in him, why did he have to go away? Why did he have to get off alone? Why did he have to go? Because even Jesus, in his flesh nature on this earth, was like, there's more. I got to go and be with the Father. I got to spend time in his presence. So it's not surprising that the disciples would actually ask him to show them how to pray. And I thought about that this week, and I thought, why would the disciples even ask how to pray? They know how to pray. The Jewish tradition is steeped in prayer, like multiple times a day. Pray together, pray in community, pray alone, read the scriptures, pray the scriptures, sing the scriptures. They didn't have scriptures in front of them, so they learned the scriptures and they prayed the scriptures. They sang them because they didn't have printed copies of them. They knew how to pray, but something happened in the disciples when they saw Jesus pray, and they're like, he prays with some sort of authority that I don't pray with. He doesn't pray with a script. He doesn't pray with somebody putting these prayers in front of me and I'm reading them. He prays with something much different. There's something deeper going on. I mean, these disciples knew how to pray. They were teaching their children to pray. Even in Deuteronomy chapter 6, 4 through 5, it says, this is what you do with your children. You tell them to pray like that. This, listen, O Israel, the Lord our God is one God. They would pray this over and over and over and over. And they would ask their children to remember this prayer and not ever forget it. Keep praying it. So they knew how to pray. In Luke 11, 1, they literally says, when Jesus went away to a certain place, as he finished, one of the disciples came to him and said, Lord, teach us to pray. Teach us to pray the way that you pray. Because we see you doing something that we've never seen before. We've seen you move away repeatedly, away from the crowds. You're not praying in the crowds. You're moving alone into a private space. You're going into a garden. And we hear you. You tell us to stand watch while you're in the garden. And you know what? We're on the outside looking in. And we can hear you wail. And we can hear you weep.
And we can hear you cry out, begging for God to give you more. Why would the God of the universe send his own son, fully God in flesh, to pray for more? Because there's more. There's more. And prayer activates the more that is inside of you that you don't even know is there. So when it comes to prayer, you can go to the bookstore today or Amazon right now, and you can find all kinds of prayers that give you exact examples of how to pray. In fact, you can buy cute little wristbands that say P-R-A-Y, and you look at those acronyms and go, praise, repent, ask, and yield. Okay, I'm on the P. I'm praying P right now. Wait, that sounds terrible. Let me go to the R. I'm going to pray on the R right now. I'm going to repent, and then I'm going to go to ask. And not that these things are trivial. They're great reminders, but there's no power in a bracelet. There's no power in a book. The power comes not from prayers that are scripted, but prayers that come from your soul. They come from the deepest recesses of your questioning and your doubts. They come from those places that you can't have answers to. And God is saying, I'm going to activate it in you because the glory is already in you. So here's what we need to do right away to know how to pray, is you better know who you're praying to. That's how you start. Know who you're praying to. Somebody just sent me a text this week, and they're like, thank you so much for that time that your son spoke, and he said something that's been really powerful and has stuck with me. If you're going to pray for 10 minutes, spend 8 minutes in praise, and God will change the next 2 minutes. You see, when you actually approach God the Father as God the Father, and you pray from that place of power, he will actually change your own prayer life into something that is bigger than you could ever imagine. You suddenly stop praying for things that you normally would pray for. I tried it this week. I just had a moment where I was like, I'm going to take 30 minutes. And I'm going to pray for 30 minutes. And I'm going to spend 28 of them praising God. And you know what? I spent like 40 minutes praising God. And suddenly the things that came to my heart and bubbled to the surface were never things that I even had on my list of things I wanted to pray for. What's interesting is the card that you have in front of you, there are prayers that you don't even know what to pray for or God can achieve, that if you begin to pray, he will reveal them to you just through prayer alone. Things that are completely impossible. So notice who he's talking to. Notice who Paul talks to. This is what he says. This is that first part that I've read. I'm asking that God, the glorious Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory. I'm praying to the one who has all glory. I'm praying to the one who has all power. I'm praying to the one who created the earth, and he did it with his own hands, and he rested on the seventh. And this is the God who has the power that I need. Jesus himself taught us how to pray in John 17. He says this in verse 3 of John 17. He says, in this way, this is the way to eternal life, to know you, God, the only true God, in Jesus Christ, the one who you sent to earth. Speaking of himself even, and he's saying, this is what I want my disciples to know. I want them not to know me. I don't want them to know just me or just the Holy Spirit. I want them to know you. You see, Jesus came to bring glory to the Father. He didn't come to bring glory to himself. And the Holy Spirit doesn't bring glory to himself. He brings glory to the Father. The Holy Spirit and Jesus always glorify the Father. You know what's interesting is when you begin to glorify the Father in your prayer life, you know what he ends up doing? He begins to turn the glory back around, and he says things like, you are my glory. When you give God glory, he turns the entire phraseology around, and he says, you are my glory. You are the glorious riches of my inheritance. You are everything to me.
So if you want to feel glorious, if you want to feel powerful, give the God who is glorious and powerful all the credit. And he begins to turn that directly back into you, and he deposits it into your soul, and he activates it, and he says, you are glorious. You are powerful. You are my inheritance. You're the reason that I'm here. You're the reason why I created everything. You are the culmination of my creation. I love that because I need that. I need to know that I'm his glorious inheritance. I need to know that I'm his prized possession. At this World Vision Conference, they talked about something that's very different, and they wanted to do something very different in missions for churches. And World Vision, if you know anything about it, they've done this thing where you can sign up like Compassion International to adopt a child, and you send money every month, and you get cards in the mail that talks about how this child's doing, and you're providing resources and food and nourishment for this child, and as this relationship goes on. But you get to actually choose the child, and it's really cool. And that's been going on for years, and World Vision last year said, we want to do something different. This is losing steam. How do we change this up but do the same type of thing? And they said, what if the kids chose us? What if they chose us? So they did this campaign at this church in Chicago where it was called Chosen. And a number of weeks went through, and they began to talk about this idea of partnering up with World Vision and adopting a child and like kind of spiritually adopting them, praying for them, sending money monthly to provide clean water and food and nourishment and discipleship training materials for their development. I said, but this is going to be different. On this one Sunday, you don't want to miss because it's going to be completely different. You can sign up to do this, but we're going to do it a different way. And when people walked in the door that Sunday, there was a bunch of empty cards on the wall, and there was a photo booth. And they signed up, and then they went to the photo booth, and they got their picture taken. And those pictures were put on a card, just like they would do in the reverse, and they took the card. The pastor and his wife took those cards to Africa, and they put the wall up inside of a tent. They lined these kids up who were going to be in a new relationship with people in their church, and they opened them up door one by one, and each child would walk in all by themselves, and they look at this sea of pictures, and they got to choose the people. I thought about showing it this morning. I kind of wish I would have, because it just, every pastor in this room, there was 800 pastors in this room in San Diego, and there was not a dry eye in the room. You see, because there's something really powerful of being chosen. There's something really powerful of knowing that there is power inside of you that you didn't even know existed. And what happened is then those kids chose them, and then when they brought those cards back, they had the wall again at this church, and everybody saw their name, and they walk up, and they open up the envelope, and they see the child's picture. And it just broke people down. You see, they're... If you want an above and beyond life in 2020, it starts by changing who you are with God the Father. Not just the Holy Spirit, not just Jesus. All of those were meant to take you to the Father. They were all meant to take you into a deep, present relationship with God the Father. You are his glory. And he gives his glory to Jesus, but he also gives his glory to you. I'll close with this illustration. I'll let the worship team come. How many of you have motion detectors in your house for the lights? Anybody? How many of you have been into a room where a building in every room has motion detectors for the lights? You have to be careful with the restroom on that one. You ever been into a restroom that had the motion detector and you went into the stalls and suddenly the lights go out? It's really awkward. Like, you're like throwing toilet paper rolls over the stall just to get the motion to enter the room, right? You know what's interesting about motion detectors is motion detectors have no source of power to the lights necessarily. Like there's power in the room. There's power in the room, even though there's motion detector, the room's the lights are off, but the power cannot be activated unless there's movement. The lights will not come on unless there's movement. There's no power unless there's activation. There's no power unless somehow, some way, you move and the power now gets activated. I think sometimes we want the power of God to be in our lives, but we're not willing to do what it takes to actually activate the power. It needs to be activated by your movement. When the lights come on, they only come on when the power and the glory of God is revealed in you. It only comes on when you activate yourself and move towards Him. Listen to me. God is real, and He's above and beyond power in us and through us. His promises are true. He promises that power for us, but you won't see it without movement and motion. You won't see it without activating in your prayer life to find what the glory actually could do. It will lay dormant until you do. It's still there. The power's there. But it comes activated by your faith. So here's my goal for you even this week. Pray it is so in your life, even when it's not so. Pray it is so, even when it's not so, in order that it might become so, simply because God said so. Amen? Pray like it is so, even if it's not so, in order that it might be so, simply because God said it is already in you. So, pray. Write those cards out. Fill them out. Pray with big expectation. Like Amanda said, it's going to be scary. But there is another one in the fire. There is another one who is already there, waiting for you. But you have to be willing to say, I'll go in. I'll go in. I'll walk into the room and I'll activate the power. I'll walk into the room and I'll activate the light. I'll walk into the room and I will see His power come true in my life. He's just waiting. He's waiting for you to move, waiting for you to worship, waiting for you to respond, even this morning as you pray.